Hello, everyone. Welcome to Deeper Conversations Coaching for the fall round, December, not December, 2022. We're not in December yet, September. There's a very stark difference. I'm in the Northern Hemisphere. I'm in Montreal, Canada. So clearly there's a big difference between September weather and December. So I'm happy to be here right now. Though, you know, I do like winter. So welcome. I'm Julie Cosmario. I'm delighted to be here with you and welcome you and you know, create the space for you to feel safe, to learn, to feel whatever it is that you want to feel so you can get your CCEs and be a part of this deeper conversation coaching experience that has been created and designed by wonderfully skilled and beautiful coaches, Jamie Tenzer and Sherry Boone. And I want to welcome you here. This program has been going on for many years, I believe 10 or longer. We often have repeat coaches, and maybe there's some of you who have been here before, so you'll let us know. So I want to welcome you and welcome you back. If you're listening to the recording, I welcome you to experience the recording and to get what it is that you need. And typically I would have been joined by Anne Kelly, who's my wonderful co-facilitator. Lots of fun, lots of experience, so much to gain from her. She, however, is under the weather, so she apologized for not being able to be here today. She will be with you. She's scheduled to be with you here on Wednesday. So assuming she's on the mend and getting better, she will be joining us on Wednesday. And if not, it'll be me. And she'll be with you for sure. I mean, like, you know, nothing's for sure, right, in life, but she's scheduled. She really wants to be here on Monday, next Monday, to take you through the ethics portion of the course. So for today, it's me. Delighted to be here with you. I'll give you a brief introduction of myself, and then we're going to go around the room, the virtual room, and get to hear from you. And excited to do that. It's always an honor and a privilege for me to be in the company of other peers, coaches. So many people bringing their vast experience, their curiosity, and whatever else it is that you're bringing that contributes to the learning of this experience. So thank you for being present and choosing to be here with us. Greatly appreciate that. And looking forward to getting to know you more. Just a few housekeeping technicalities that I'll share with you. So Mondays we'll be delving into delving deeper into competencies. So we'll be talking about the competencies of the eight core competencies. Were prior to eight, they have been 11. Maybe you know the competencies when they were 11 competencies. They have since been updated and revamped, and we are now standing at eight competencies. So maybe some of you are familiar with the eight, some are getting to know the eight. Most of you know them, but there have been some changes, so we'll be referring to those. And on Wednesdays, it's the practicum. So we'll be doing a debrief of the competency that was talked about on Mondays. So on the Monday, and then on Wednesday, we'll be delving into some mentor coaching. So the expectation is that the participants here, you will volunteer to either be a coach or a client. And so we will have the privilege of being observers and listening to coaching, as well as, you know, whoever wants to be a coach or a client, you will be able to do that. And so that's something to think about as we move into the weeks together. And also for Wednesday, I'll be asking at the end of this class who might want to be a coach for next week or a client for next week. So the sessions are about 25 to 30 minutes. And then Anne or myself, whoever's present, will be offering some feedback, some acknowledgement. What did we see the coach doing that was well? What competencies were evident? What did we notice? What did we hear that worked well? And we'll be sharing that. And it's a beautiful learning process. And it's great to hear and experience different coaching styles. And it's just a really deep overall session, as coaching is and as coaching does. So that's how it works for the Monday, Wednesdays. I don't want to talk too much, and I'll go into a little bit more housekeeping at the end of the session, but we will take about a 3 to 5 minute break. And you can do whatever you need to do at that time. If you, there's class agreements that we'll be covering after we introduce ourselves, and we'll be doing that at the beginning of each session. It's to go over, you know, the agreements, the standards of what happens when we are in the space together. So I'll get into more of that, but I would love to hear from you and get to know you and you get to know each other. And so I'm looking at Jean as the first person. And so please share, I have questions for you before you start, but if, okay. Let me know the correct pronunciation of your name, if there are pronouns you want to let me know about or let us know about, and you can let us know where you're joining us from. And so here are the three questions that I'd love you to address.
Okay.
What is your intention for yourself out of taking this course? It's aside from getting the CCEs. So what's your intention for being here? Mm-hmm. What is your deepest joy when you're coaching?
Mm. Okay. And is there another question?
And then there's another one. If you were coaching at a deeper level, what might be different in you or your coaching?
Got it.
And forgive me. You know, can always use some forgiveness. But a round of forgiveness. I just want to just let you know who I am before we start, so that, like, you know, you feel like, okay, you know, there's somebody holding the space, this container. So I'm a coach, obviously. I am a PCC coach. I've been coaching for many years, since 2007. It's actually the first time I got to meet Sherry. She was my instructor many years ago. So I'm certified as PCC coach, and I'm also a certified mentor coach, became mentored as well through Jamie and Sherry's program in 2016. And so I mentor and I coach individuals and in groups locally. I'm in Montreal, Canada, and also internationally for schools and institutes. I'm also a coach educator, and so I've been on faculty teaching the coaching curriculum to professionals and students, and absolutely love it. I love deep transformation and change, and being in a space that can be a space of healing. And one of my focuses and loves is intuition and the healing arts. And so I bring that to whatever it is that I do, in addition to a podcast where I get to interview authors and psychologists that are also speaking to, you know, what is it that creates change and how can we contribute to individual and collective change? And this is why when I'm in a space like this, I feel like it's just the right place to be in, with people who are also committed to and have like mind, doing what is that such beautiful, meaningful work. So thank you for being here. That's a little bit about me. I have two boys, they're 11 and 8. I have a dog who's just under my desk. If you hear some strange sounds, it's not me. And that's about it for now. Thanks for that. And I'm going to be bringing in, oh, so Deb is coming in with her video, I believe. Okay. Jean, over to you. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, thank you. It's a delight to meet you, Julie. So I'm Jean Opplinger. She, her, hers are my pronouns. I'm in the Seattle, Washington area. I'm a master certified coach, and I've been coaching since 2000. I absolutely love, honor, and moved to get to do the work that we get to do. And I primarily work in organizations, a lot at Microsoft. So they're just in our backyard, Microsoft, Amazon, Blue Origin, some of the other big ones that are located here. Hello, Deb. And I am really, so what's my intention? Well, I got to tell you a little bit more about me. I have two really great kids, no bad kids. I've said it forever and it continues to work. So I don't really believe in good and bad, but they're really great children. I just got back from New York City visiting my daughter for 4 days, which was great. So they're 25 and 23. I have a small dog. She sits over there on my couch and she makes a lot of noise too. So apologies for that in advance, but that's just who she is. Kind husband, who's an architect in Seattle as well, of course. My intention for this, for myself, my intention for myself is just to give back to the program that's given me so much, you know, so really re-anchoring. I love the fact that there's ICF. I love the fact that we have credentials and guidelines and competencies and a governing body, if you will, that keeps us doing the work that's pure and true. So I was really looking for, when I was looking for continuing education units, I was like, I want to go back to the basics. And so I was super thrilled, super thrilled to find this course, the format. My other intention is just to be with colleagues and peers, and there's always so much to learn from each other. So I'm really delighted to meet you already and to hear and learn from you and appreciate you. So that's that. I'm really excited about that part. My deepest joy in joy is one of my highest values. And so deepest joy in work is when the client comes to like that deep thunk, kind of a truth that happens. And it just has them, you know, it's like watching everything come together and make sense. And it's a witnessed thing, in my opinion. So I live for those moments. I would call them deeper than ahas. They're just kind of crystallizing everything. So that's that. Coaching, could you repeat the third question, please, Julie? I couldn't.
The third question is, if you were coaching at a deeper level, what might be different in you or your coaching?
Coaching at a deeper level. I love that question. It's going to sound maybe a little weird, but this is what comes up first, is maybe letting them be in the belly of the whale a little bit longer. You know, and I remember early on in my coaching, I would go in and kind of pull them out maybe too soon, but just willing to let them, you know, that beautiful sense of timing and connection that happens, and kind of there's just a resonance there, you know, more of that awakening with my client and myself. Mm. So that's me.
Beautiful.
It's nice to meet you.
Thank you for bringing you.
Thank you.
To this space.
I'm honored.
So nice to meet you.
Thank you.
So who would like to go next? And also please feel free to use the chat if there's anything you want to communicate as well.
I'm happy to.
Okay.
So I'm Laura Goffertson-Nemitz. I'm she, her, hers as well. I'm actually an ACC and I'm not a coach for a living. So I'm a vice president of talent at one of the largest credit unions in Madison, Wisconsin, where I live with my 13-year-old daughter. So I do envision a day where I'm coaching more and coaching outside of my organization, but I'm pretty busy with what I've got right now. So coaching for me is, you know, working with leaders internally to our organization from a development perspective, you know, working from an individual development where they want to go, you know, just really helping them to be more successful as leaders. And coaching has just been such a pivotal tool for me personally, and watching other people, I think, become more comfortable and confident in their own skin and who they are, and knowing that they have the tools and resources inside them to navigate life, you know, especially as the hard things come up. So that has been such a joy to watch people have so many victories from that perspective. So I guess in terms of what my deepest joy is, it is just watching people, I think, evolve more into kind of their whole self, for lack of better words, being able to recognize the gremlins, the things that come in that get in our way, and not to let those things stop them, but to acknowledge them for what they are, and to be able to move past those really a lot more confidently. So that has been huge, just to watch people, I would say, flourish. What a deeper level would look like for me, I would say, because I'm not coaching every day and sometimes even, every week, this is an opportunity for me to kind of rehone my skills, gain confidence in, you know, how to draw people out. You know, I think there's a lot of confidence that comes with practicing things. And I think, the recertification credits are great because as coaches, we are held to a standard, and it'll be great practice and confidence building for me as I've really kind of been out of the thick of, kind of formal coaching since I did my certification. Gosh, it's going on 3 years ago. So I'm really looking forward to just, I think with that confidence, you can settle in. They know as coaches when you're, you know, confident and at peace in what you're doing. And so I think it'll just be another really great learning and growth opportunity for me personally. I don't know, aside from that, I'm pretty busy as a single mom. I have a partner who is a neuroscientist at the university here. He has three kids. So when I'm not at work, you know, the six of us tend to be doing life together, which I really love and appreciate. I'm also a yogi. And so I think there's just so many great combos between coaching and yoga. And I really hope to one day do more with both of those things. Because I think they're both really powerful practices. So sorry, that was a little bit of a babble, but that's a little bit more about me.
Beautiful. No need to apologize for that. Thank you for letting us in your life a little bit and sharing all of that valuable information, intention, meaning. Yeah, really nice to have you here. Thank you. Nothing is seen as babble here. Who is next?
I can go next.
Go ahead.
Lisa, do you want to go?
That's okay. I'll go after you.
My name is Deb Becker, and I am in the Boston area. And Julie was somewhat close to you recently in the fact that we did a vacation at the end of August up in Quebec. So had a lot of fun just exploring the province as well as the city as well. So
cool.
So a little bit about me. I come out of the leadership and talent development world from an aerospace and defense contractor a number of years ago. A few years ago at this point, time flies when you're having fun. And my business now really focuses on accelerating the growth and impact of mid to senior level leaders. And I come from, my certification was with the NeuroLeadership Institute. So I love my tech folks. I love my engineers, my IT, my finance folks. And, you know, but I think just some things are complementary. I love anchoring coaching engagements as well as development programs in assessment data. So really the notion of assess, reflect, act really just provides that opportunity and kind of the framework to really start from a place of data where possible. It's not always possible, but to really do some grounding for self-reflection. Really having folks dig around with that, play with it, kick the tires, see what sticks, see what other perspectives they're gaining. And then I'm very big on my philosophy, I guess, is, you know, really big on the practical application. So, you know, it's great to have conversations, but what are you going to do with it? Laura, a lot of what you said really resonated with me in terms of really helping leaders become their best selves at work for themselves, their teams, and the ripple effect throughout the organization. So I think that was the first part of what I was supposed to answer. Again, I feel like I just rambled a bit, but absolutely love the coaching space, love facilitating and really just being in space, whether it's virtually or in person with people, to really help them be the most impactful leaders that they can be. Personally, I as I said, I live in Boston, I'm married, and I've got two kids. So Julie, very similar ages. I have exactly the same ages. I have an 11-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl, both seemingly on the tipping point of the tween teen years. So good ages and just, but keeping us on our toes as well. So no dogs here, but we do have a hamster. So that's the extent of our pet responsibility. Though the kids do campaign for a dog. I think, you know, I shared a little bit of my intention when it comes to coaching. If I didn't, Julie, just let me know and I can go back to that question. I think my joy in coaching really resonates with what other folks have already said, really seeing people have that light bulb go off and just like, oh, that's it. That's why this is leading to that. And, you know, and then when people, you know, have the opportunities, even just to make those small tweaks, little by little, and just the impact that it can have just for how they feel as a leader, or the impact that it has on individuals or their teams, that to me is the greatest joy for me. I think what would be different if I was coaching at a, well, let me just take a step back. I'm also an ACC coach looking to become PCC next year. So really wanted to engage in the updated frameworks and competencies. And again, similarly, I did my certification a few years ago. So just really kind of getting back into it again. And what would be different is I think would have the more profound moments a little bit quicker so then we can go deeper. So I think just being able to clarify, simplify questions and really helping people go even deeper than they currently do. So, so that's me. So any questions, anything I missed?
Of course we have questions. We're coaches.
We're coaches.
What brought you to this specific program, Deb? Did I miss that maybe?
Thank you. Okay. So I was real, as I said, I was looking to go from ACC to PCC, and I was really looking around to think, to find, you know, what would be the program at the next step, the next level. And honestly, just didn't have the bandwidth for a big full program. And just really loved the fact that this seemed very practically focused, the competencies, the role playing, had the flexibility. I talked to some folks in my network who had taken a class or two with Sherry. And so it just seemed like a really good match. So, that's why I'm here.
Great. So happy you're here.
Yeah,
thank you for sharing. And I do want to say there are options to join the full 8 weeks or less. And so I think most of you have signed up for the full 8 weeks. Are all of you here? 8 weeks. Okay. And of course, there may be a class or two that you may not be present for. And of course, this is why we have the recordings. And in order to get your attendance checked off, there's an attendance sheet that I'll show you where you can find. And that's where you are responsible for marking and noting your attendance and then sending that to Jamie and Sherry at the end of the course. And then you'll get a certificate signifying your completion and participation in the class. So, and of course, if you have any other questions, please let me know. So I think Lisa was about to share simultaneously with Deb. Does that feel like you want to jump in now?
Okay. Sure. So I live here with my partner and my cat, who can be both good and bad. And I don't have any qualms with telling him, because when he's bad, he's really bad. I'm in Ottawa, so I'm a couple of hours from you, Julie, in Montreal.
Awesome.
So I had to smile when you asked the question about what were the intentions, the first question, because I'm one of those people who, a little bit like the, I guess, shoemaker's kids have no shoes. I tend to not pursue the development until I have to. It's like, oh, again, I have to do this ICF thing. Oh, darn. So I'm awful that way. And I run too much last minute. And this time I'm like, no, you are going to be intentional about this. And you're going to find something at this point is the most value. So this is what I came up with. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be a participant and learn from it. So definitely not just about the credits for me this time. I've been coaching since 2002. I fell into it by mistake. I got into a firm and they sent me for 360 feedback debrief. And from that, a bit of coaching. And I thought, wow, this is a job. So then I pursued my coaching certification, became a PCC. Did a few years of faculty at CTI. And I say that because that was another time where I was learning, of course, learning very much by teaching students, but wonderful learning experience at that point. and also a certified systems coach. And so my coach focus is with executives, mostly senior executives, mostly with the federal public service. So people who are in charge of vaccine rollouts and changing engine factories into ventilator factories. And these sort of massive decisions that are, you know, just incredible to be part of, and just trying to support them in those jobs. I think at the end of the day, my deepest joy is when I feel like I'm serving. So I was, you know, I had to kind of scramble. I was doing a bit of work, but I was in front of the TV. I was watching the Queen's funeral this morning, because it just that sense of service and serving, just that's at the end of the day, how I get my joy out of coaching. And I think what at a deeper level, what would be available to me, I think a colleague of mine says it best. She says, when someone is tickled. And so I know that when I'm not sort of resting on my laurels or doing the same old and stretching myself, I get that look, or that something comes out of their mouth from my clients, and they're like, oh, like when I challenge them or something, and I hold them big. And I don't get that often enough. And when I say the risk of resting on my laurels, I really mean that. After 20 years of coaching, you know, I was like, come on, Lisa, you can bring more. And so I really want to challenge myself that way. And I hope to be challenged in this course. I will learn from the folks at this course. I'm just really excited to step out of my zone. Yeah. So I think hopefully I've touched on everything.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for, again, choosing to be here and being proactive with your own process there. And we will all obviously benefit from each other. So thank you, Lisa. We're so close to each other. I haven't had that experience here. As close as Ottawa. So it's fun.
I'll go next.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sterling Gross, and I have a new profession. As of June 3rd, I retired. And so I am woohoo, excited. I'll get out to understand what the next chapter is going to be for me. I'm also taking on a new profession as grandfather. My daughter is due in December, so we're awaiting a new grandchild, our first. I'm taking on another profession as father-in-law. My son's getting married in November, so that's taken a whole lot. And then I've been married to the love of my life for 34 years. So it's, we have explored everything in the world together, the both of us. And we just had our anniversary this past Saturday. I've been at PCC since 2010. I've actually worked with Sherry as well. This is like a repeat for me. I got so much out of the last time, and all the goals that I had set, I had actually accomplished with what I was able to glean from the class. And now I'm ready to go at it again. I've spent 40 years in HR. So my last role was with a company called Luxottica. So 34 years with a company, all kinds of HR and operations role. My last role was that of leading an HR organization for manufacturing and distribution through all of COVID. And so it became a very clear sign for me that I was missing my love, which was coaching, because I was just trying to keep facilities open and keep people safe. And I went on a hiatus, and then before I realized it was time to retire, and I had spent a couple of years without any real coaching like I wanted to. So that's what I want to get out of this, to be honest. I want to reignite that coaching love that I have. There's something about it when somebody walks in and they're living in the world of probability, and all of a sudden you open up the door of possibility and things just unfold. And to witness that and be a part of that is, to me, the key to being a coach with excellence. I think that then that actually goes into how it would look deeper for me. Like somebody said earlier, I want to get there a little bit faster. You know, there are people that were running Mach 4 with their hair on fire, and that hour or hour and a half that we give people has a lot in it. And so my goal has always been to leave them a little bit deeper and richer than where we started, but also to keep that that taste alive for them, so that when I see them again at their next coaching engagement, they've done all the work and they've learned and they're just excited about the exploration for themselves. And so then the other thing is truly when it comes down for me is there, I have a deep joy for coaching, like I've heard all of you share in some capacity. And it gives me, it helps me kick my covers off in the morning. I walk in a world of probability, and it's been that way for a long time. I've worked with a lot of senior executives for many years, and they called me the unorthodox HR guy. And I could never understand if that was a compliment or an insult. So finally, I got brave enough to ask somebody when I was retiring what he meant by that. And he said, you know, HR people are usually right and wrong. They come in and tell you how they're right and you're wrong. That's how he said it. Well, ow, that hurts. And then he said, well, you come in and help me see what I need to, what could be better. And then you stand right by me while we make it better together. Something to that effect. And I thought, wow, it was a way for that person to tell me that I was going into my HR role for all these years from a coaching mindset. You know, it's not about having all the answers, because I don't. And that person usually has more answers or even more effective answers than I do. And my job is to help them find them, to explore for them, and then learn along the way, which is my last note. I am an avid learner. And when I'm engaged and I'm learning, I feel that I'm at my best. I feel that it's not about doing it my best, but it's like I'm exploring how Sterling could be different with his next chapter. And what I want to do now, come January, I got to decide, do I want to go into consulting or do I want to just be a grandpa? And between now and then, I just got to make some decisions. And I'm hoping that through this activities over the next several months that I can make that happen, or at least get a different idea. So that's me.
Wow. Living the possibilities right now.
It's all right there.
Amazing. Thank you, Sterling. And congratulations. New roles, big transitions. Thank you for sharing. I think he just left. All that energy, you know, oof, magic. That was wonderful. And I'm sure he'll come back in. And I'm seeing some comments in the chat and Jean's beautiful acknowledgements and people's responses and just so much wisdom and energy and inspiration in the room. So just bringing attention to that. Dania, I'm not sure if she's still here, but she did mention that something had come up, so she wasn't able to be present. So if you are here, Dania, and you want to come on just through voice, I welcome you to do that. And if not, then I welcome you back to the recording. And Sterling's coming back in the room. Welcome back, Sterling. So I was just thanking you, Sterling, for your sharing, and just wanted to take a moment, to just acknowledge all of you here and all that you're bringing, the generative conversations that will ensue, and just to notice your intentions. And then, you know, when we end this group, from my experience, it's always so meaningful, and there's so much to glean and gain. And so here we are again. It's ripe for all of that. And so thank you for bringing your resourcefulness here today. So I want to bring your attention to a few moments. Today we're going to be delving into core competency number 4. And I'll just be doing a brief outline of what's to come in the coming weeks. Before I do that, I would like us to read the class agreements. And usually at the top of the hour, we invite someone to read the class agreements out loud. So does anybody have those available? And so I just want to remind us where we can find that. You'll be getting a reminder 2 hours before every class. And there's a link on that reminder email. It's from info@deeperconversationscoaching.com. And it says Deeper Conversations Coaching Resources. If you click on that link, it'll bring you to the webpage. Does everybody, I could bring that up on my screen or not, but everybody's okay? All right. So you'll see that you have access, I'm just looking at it myself, to the syllabus and then the core competencies. I recommend that you have that beside you so that you can refer to it, take notes as you want, so have it printed out. The code of ethics as well, the updated code of ethics, which were updated in 2019. Then there's an attendance sheet, which again, I said that you are responsible for taking care of your attendance. Of course, I'm taking it as well. Good to have both of us. And then you'll be sending that in at the end of the course, the class agreement. So that's what I'm going to ask one of you to read voluntarily. Then there's the PCC markers, which were also updated. And then if you scroll down a little bit further, if you want to watch the recording or listen to the recording, there will be a link posted a couple of hours after each class, and you'll be able to access the recording. Any questions about that or anything else? And I think most of you here said you would be here for the full 8 weeks. There are some people who will be coming in for shorter. So when they come into the room, I'll invite them into the conversation. They'll introduce themselves and we'll just welcome them in to the space. So who would like to volunteer to read the class agreements? Jean? Thank you.
Hello. Okay. When I clicked on unmute, I just lost them. Here they are. One, confidentiality. We agree. So the deeper conversation, 7 class agreements. The first is confidentiality. We agree to keep all information we hear within the classes or from our classmates confidential. This includes our live classes and listening to audios of the classes. 2, positive focus. We agree to give positive feedback, to acknowledge versus criticize, to be accepting. 3, hold the space. We agree to listen without interruption. 4, presence. We agree to be fully present to the class without distraction or multitasking. 5, beginner's mind. We agree to be curious and open, letting it all unfold. 6, self-responsibility. We agree to practice excellent self-care. 7, coaching feedback. We agree that only positive acknowledgements are offered by the class participants after the coaching, focusing on the competencies observed and the strengths of the coach. The class facilitators may offer mentoring feedback designed to further the learning of the coach and the class participant. Thanks, everyone.
You want to read what's below?
Oh, sure. Okay,
thank you.
Apologies. Will do. Bringing it back. I think I am. Okay, I'm going to be looking over here. As a quick note about coaching feedback, we have many years of experience with coach training and mentoring, and so we are happy to give our feedback. Though some of you have also have this experience, we have found that too much feedback can be confusing and even derail a coach. We believe that this will keep the process more direct, clear, and focused. Some benefits we see. For the coach, the feedback will be clear and focused only on a couple of items versus too much information all at once. Second bullet, for the observers, a more supportive learning space to focus on what is working. This will strengthen and build your own coaching. And third bullet, for everyone, a very safe space is maintained. Overall, our intention is always to foster a space of safety, acceptance, and learning that invites each participant to grow and evolve their coaching.
Good. Thank you, Jean. Beautiful. We won't read that bottom portion every week, but just wanted to make that clear and just want to invite everybody to let us know that you're in agreement of the class agreements, unless you're not and you want to share why or what. All good. And just want to reiterate the self-responsibility piece. As coaches, we know what that is, but also what that looks like here. If you need to turn your camera off, if you need to do whatever you need to do, here to support that. So take care of yourself. And of course, you can always send me a direct message if something comes up, if there's a question or whatever it is that you need here for your learning and development. And important that you take care of yourself and do what you need to make sure that that happens. And we're always learning more about ourselves, right? Didn't know that I needed that. but thank you for letting me know, or thank you for showing up so that I do know now. I'm just trying to think what else there is I need to tell you. We're going to be going into cultivating trust and safety. Does everybody have their competencies available? Okay. If not, again, they're on that resource page. And Anne wanted me to share with you, because she will be the one taking you through the ethics portion of this program. And in order to get full marks of attendance for the ethics portion, you have to be present at those classes live. And so those classes will be taking place next Monday and the Monday following. There are requirements, 3 hours, to get 3-hour skill training in ethics. And we cover that in the program. So to get those 3 hours, you need to be present. So next Monday, September 26th, and then October 3rd. And so Anne will be guiding you through those. And what she was inviting you to do is to look at the ICF Code of Ethics, and then choose 2 to 3 of those, circle one of the codes that speaks to you, that either you find confusing, either that you want to delve into more, either you're curious about something that's come up in your own practice that you wanted to explore and understand. Just choose 2 to 3 of those as you look through them as points that you want to bring to the call and have Anne touch upon in the call. So that's your home play, as Anne calls it. Oh, Dania's back. Okay, so I'll invite you, Dania, to come back on when you're ready, if you want to turn your video on, just to share a little bit about yourself. But does everybody know, understand that? Not too complicated, obviously, but just want to remind, I'll remind you at the end, but to go through the Code of Ethics, choose 2 to 3 that stand out to you and bring those to the call with Anne next Monday. Hi, Dania, welcome back. I'm glad you're here.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry I had a problem.
I'm glad that you're back. I hope everything's okay.
Go out.
Okay. Do you want me to go through those 3 questions that I had asked? To introduce yourself?
Not now. Can I pass?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, so you'll be here listening?
Yes, now okay. Yes.
Okay. Where are you calling from? Do you want to share that?
I'm from Italy.
Italy, okay. Well, welcome. Okay.
So my English is not like yours.
Well, it sounds pretty good. My Italian is for sure not like yours.
Okay.
But thank you for being here. And if there's any question or any clarification you want, just let us know.
Okay. I'll do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And also, if somebody is not in the position to share visually or auditorily, is that a word? Auditorily? It is now. You could write it in the chat. Like, for example, Daniel, you don't need to. I'm just using you as an example. If you want to tell us, you know, your intention or why are you in this, you know, what brought you here, you can write it. You don't need to. And that might even be more of a deterrent. But I'm just saying, use the chat for however you want to. If it brings ease, great. And any questions as I move forward and make up words? Okay. So today we're talking about cultivating trust and safety. And the definition of cultivating trust and safety is partnering with the client to create a safe, supportive environment that allows the client to share freely, maintains a relationship of mutual respect and trust. And today we'll be having a little experience around cultivating trust and safety, followed by a brief discussion. So today we're going to be covering trust and safety. And it's always interesting, as I'm bringing up these competencies, just to notice, like, well, how does that show up in my coaching? Whether you're, you know, we're talking as coaches here, but you might experience and know how that feels as a coachee. But how does trust and safety show up, you know? And as I move forward and talk about the other competencies, you know, how does that show up? What does that mean to me? What does it look like? What can I know more about? I find in all my years of coaching, you know, even here today, as I question, you know, bring this question to mind, cultivating trust and safety, you know, it's that beginner's mind. It's like, yeah, what does that mean? Trust and safety, even though I've read the competency about a million times, I've talked about it, you know, maybe half of that, but I feel like it's always new when I meet it. So I find that to be, you know, a testament to the process of coaching and what that brings. For classes 2 and 3, I said, we'll be talking about ethical practice. So this is all falls under ethical practice and cultivating trust and safety fall under the foundation of the core competencies. So again, Anne will be with you for talking about demonstrating ethical practice. And those 2 weeks fulfill the ICF requirement for the 3 hours of ethics specific training every 3 years. And it's fascinating to do that with Anne. Class 4, we'll be talking about establishing and maintaining agreements. It's competency number 3. That's a big one for coaches. How do we set agreements? The overall coaching agreement, the in-session agreement, and then the ongoing agreement. And so what does that look like? And that's going to be covered in class 4. What does that look like to have a coaching agreement, and how, you know, that is one of the cornerstones of coaching. So we'll be talking about the 3 levels of agreement. Then we'll be moving on to class 5, which is competency number 5. We didn't do that intentionally. It just happens to be that way. Maintains presence. And what does that mean? You know, what does that look like? Transactional coaching, transformational coaching. What does it look like and feel like to be maintaining presence as a coach? And so we'll be going into that, delving into that. And the definition for maintaining presence, competency number 5, is fully conscious and present with the client, employing a style that is open, flexible, grounded, and confident. Class 6 will be going into listens actively. And that is competency number 6, focusing on what the client is and is not saying, to fully understand what is being communicated in the context of the client's systems and to support client self-expression. Class 7 is evokes awareness. And so maybe if you're familiar with the 11 competencies, you'll be seeing how they were brought together and what was taken out. And so all good things to notice. I'm not going to go into detail of what was changed here and there, but you know, there are some noticeable differences. Class 7, and we can touch upon those too as the conversations evolve. Class 7 is evokes awareness. So this includes what was formally broken down into different competencies prior in the 11 competencies. So evokes awareness now includes direct communication and creating awareness and powerful questions. So this is all in evokes awareness. And all three of those are now comprised in this competency. Facilitates client insights and learning by using tools and techniques such as powerful questioning, silence, metaphor, or analogy. I'm gonna take some water. Anybody else need water? Or coffee, tea? I don't have any to offer you, sorry. But if you had some available for yourself, there we go, water. It's always good to hydrate, right? And class number 8, finally, is facilitates client growth. This is where we bring the learning into action. And this is combining previously designing actions, planning and goal setting, and managing progress and accountability. And they've brought it all into one competency called facilitates client growth. It's a holistic process and easier to think about perhaps as one competency. So competency number 8 partners with the client to transform learning and insight into action, promotes client autonomy in the coaching process. So that's facilitates client growth. And the word partner showed up right now in this definition. And that's one word that comes to mind because you'll see in this version of the competence, the updated competencies, partnering is a word that gets highlighted and repeated upon in various parts of the competencies. And that's something that becomes part of the lexicon and the language now in coaching. It did before as well, but the importance of partnering with your client, something that you may notice and might notice going forward. And why don't we take a 3-minute break? I know that's not 5, you know, but we'll take a 3-minute break and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna delve into cultivating trust and safety. And we'll be doing a little experience. So thank you for your attention. Do what you need to do. And we'll be back here in 3 minutes. Welcome back. Okay. So typically when we meet on Mondays and Wednesdays, just today, because it was the first class, we didn't go through this experience, but we'll read the class agreements and then we'll have a moment of a connection exercise, whether it's a moment to just breathe, close our eyes. It's just a moment to reset and move into the conversation. So that's something that you can expect on Mondays and Wednesdays. And we often ask for volunteers if there's an experience they want to take us through to reset. It could be 30 seconds, a minute, not longer than two usually. So excellent. So what I'm going to ask you to do for this experience, though you've just turned on your cameras, is to turn your cameras off. And I'm going to invite you into a process that is for your own benefit and enjoyment without any expectation of what needs to become of it. No outcomes or results expected, but just allow yourself to move into the space. I'll just wait for Jean to come back. So Jean, I don't know if you heard me, I was inviting, there we go, cameras off. Settle into your seat or wherever you're seated. I just want to invite you to put down anything you might have in your hands that you're looking at on your screens. I guess I'm leaving my camera on, but the idea is for you to just turn your attention away from what is visible and relax your feet. Relax your arms, relax your chin and jaw, and just turn your attention and your gaze inward. And I invite you to close your eyes, of course, if that feels most comfortable for you. That's the way we can turn out 80% of the stimulation that's visual. And so I just invite you to take a nice deep breath and allow yourself to relax in this moment, knowing and trusting there's nothing else that you need to do for these next 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Just being present to yourself, thanking yourself for giving yourself this time to focus inwardly, to be present to yourself and your own development and to your own needs. And as you notice yourself relaxing even more, I just want you to imagine, see or sense yourself in a beautiful spot in nature. And you can put yourself there by noticing all the details, the colors, the sounds, the smells, the fragrance. Your senses become heightened. And so you notice a lovely path that invites you to walk towards it in this beautiful spot that you've arrived in nature. And so you move gently and easily towards the path and you walk at your own pace. And as you're on the path, you soon approach a clearing. And someone there is waiting for you. As you approach, you notice actually it's yourself, sometime in the future, your future self. And your future self is holding a special gift for you. As you receive and open the gift from your future self, you notice everything you can about it. And so just notice what it is. And as you hold it and sense it in your hands, notice what it's made out of, the shape. And perhaps what's bringing your attention forward is what this gift from your future self symbolizes to you right now. As you are here in this moment, first day of this class, Deeper Conversations Coaching, what does this gift from your future self symbolize? And now thank your future self. You say goodbye, you turn and return down the path, taking your gift with you, keeping it close, You walk back to the path and you are ready, staying relaxed, moving away from the spot that you arrived at in your mind, that nature spot. You come back to the place where your attention is drawn in this moment, into the chair that you're sitting on, bringing your attention focused into the now, bringing your attention to your hands and feet, opening your eyes when you're ready to. And when you're ready to come back, you can open your video.
Julie, you muted yourself. You can't hear me. There you go.
I wasn't muted the whole time, right? So I was just inviting you to, if you want to share what you received, anything that you experienced meeting your future self, the gift, anything you want to speak out loud, what that was like for you.
This is Sterling, I'll go. I think what I realized just a moment ago is I hadn't celebrated June 3rd for myself. You know, we had a going away party and everybody said goodbye and all of that, but I never really thought about the fact that, you know, that I reached this milestone. So it was pretty important. Pretty cool.
Well, thank you.
I was just going to add, sometimes I'll do some deep breathing moments with my coachees, and it was so restorative to be on the other end of that. And I think, as someone put in the chat as well, you have a very calm presence. And so just really enjoyed being able to just do some deep breathing with the visualization, some stretching all at the same time. So it was fantastic, especially for the middle of the day.
Nice. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, I can pipe in. It's Lisa. I've used that visualization often too, so it's really great to be on the other end of that, experience it. The gift was this red glass heart that I have, that interestingly I almost gave away to someone, a real close relative who lost their mom, and for some reason I didn't, but so it's vivid. It's downstairs. I'll get it. And so it was just this, I guess to me, it represented that heart and love is all that matters. And by extension, belonging also came to my mind. So it was very powerful. Of course, I intend to put that heart in my closer to my visual now. So thanks for that experience. Yeah.
Thank you.
For me, it wasn't, so I agree 100% that it was so nice to be on the receiving side. So thank you for the practice. For me, it wasn't a thing. At first, when you said there was a person, I saw my mom, which was interesting there, but I look a lot like my mom did at this age. So that was kind of easy to transition to myself. And then, but for me, it wasn't a thing. It was it was energy. It was a way of being. It was we've been through some transitions in our life here in the past few years, and I keep seeking my energy source again. So it was there. So thank you for that. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jean. Anybody else want to share? Well, if you do, and I'm not seeing that you do, just raise your hand or pipe in. So we're bringing up this idea of trust and safety. And Lisa, I see your comment, and Deb mentioned trust and safety. You're already picking up on that. And so I would just like to open up the conversation perhaps to trusting new people. You know, when you meet someone new, what are some indicators for you that allow you to feel safe and that you can feel trust? Are there outward signs? Is there something internal? What happens for you?
I would say for me, this is Laura, it's very much a sense or a gut instinct. I am naturally a feeler, and I would say really rely on my gut for a lot of things. And so that to me is kind of the first step. And then of course, body language, I think, plays into that a lot.
You want to say more about that body language?
What do I want to say about that? I mean, I think you can read people's faces, and obviously harder in a virtual room, but their faces, their emotions, you know, is there a sense of inquisitiveness, you know, head nodding? I think all of those things kind of lead to cues that someone's invested, which I think is, you know, can help create a sense of safety and trust.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody have any further reflections on that?
I think that one of the intriguing things for me is I find that when I meet somebody new and they're wanting to know as much about me as I want to know about them, then that it becomes a dialogue of exploration. And it's not about, you know, throwing out anything that is considered judgmental or, you know, comparative. I can sense that genuineness by the questions that they ask, and then the appreciation of the answer that's given. And I notice myself in those situations that the more that the question comes up that way, the more I'm willing to share a little bit more about myself with that individual. Mm-hmm. And if it's not in that space, then I find myself pulling back a little bit further, finding somebody else to talk to at times. And that's just honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, just kind of coming in the back door, I know what does not invite trust is like distractibility or a nervousness or faking presence. Pretty sensitive to that. And so then coming in the front door of that conversation is what does give me trust is just this like presence, you know, someone being here. And that's not always easy with clients, but I try to be that for them, which kind of allows them to settle, I believe.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you. I also want to mention that, you know, as we're delving into the competency, you know, if there's something that stands out as you're reading through the competency, if you have a moment to read it or in preparation for the class, if you know we're going to broach the topic, and you're reading through one of the, you know, the competencies or the subcompetencies, and you have a question about it, or you want to bring it to the conversation, please feel free to do that. If there's something you're unclear about, or if there's something that's shown up in your own practice, this is the place that we want to encourage you also to do that, to use the space for those conversations that we'll all learn from together.
Julie, can I just pipe in quickly around Lisa? Yeah, one of the things, thanks for that, because I just glanced again at the specific bullet points. One of the things that I know that enhances the trust and safety for my clients, which I'm reticent to do, is share with myself. And every time I share with myself, they're, of course, I'm not there to talk about me. But, you know, being an introvert, it's an effort for me, but I know that that's something that for them enhances that connection.
So which one was bringing your attention to that? Is it number six? This demonstrates an openness and transparency as a way to display vulnerability and build trust with the client.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and how much do you share? You know, that's also a point of interest. And perhaps I wouldn't use the word controversy because that sounds a little heavy, but, you know, do you have to share? What do you share ethically, you know, or, you know, just personally, you know, what is there a line for you? I mean, that could be a whole 2-hour conversation in itself. But so what I'm hearing you say, Lisa, is when there is some transparency, that it's appreciated and it creates more trust.
I think when people know you, they can trust you more. That feeling of knowing. Yeah.
Right. How do you know someone? Do you know someone by knowing information about them?
I think the answer is yes and no. For me, because I think that it is a balance for us as coaches to know how much to share about ourselves, because then it becomes a comparison between the client and the coach. And that's where I've struggled most of my coaching career, is because I feel that the more you know about me, the more you can trust me. And I don't know if I'm feeling that same way now, at this juncture of my career. You know, people learn you very quickly, and the more conversations you have with them, the more comfortable they become, as well as how much more they know about you. I don't know if that makes sense. The more I'm with somebody and they can understand, first they can trust me. I think I have a genuine approach that I trust most people, right or wrong, that's just my nature. And then what happens with that nature is that when it's violated, then it's very difficult for me to build that trust back with that individual. And I don't want to put that on a client. You know, that's where I am. And so to stay in that space of, this isn't about you, Sterling, it's about something else, can be very distracting, because then I'm having this internal conversation while I'm trying to have an internal conversation with somebody. It's one of those things that, when is too much? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that made sense. It did in my head.
In mine too. And it doesn't always need to make sense, you know? That's what we're here for. Conversations. This is Margaret Wheatley. I'm sure many of you know her name. She's a thought leader and has many titles, author. And she was actually on my podcast, and she said, she didn't say this on the podcast, but in my research and preparing to speak with her, she said, conversations are the way people think together. And so I just forever use those words, because, you know, Sterling, you're saying, does that make sense? Like, does it need to make sense? We're here to think together, to be together, to go deeper, and to make sense of things. So yeah, may this be the place that it happens as well.
Thank you for that, Julie. That was great.
Thank you. My pleasure. So happy to be having these conversations with you.
Again, thank you for that quote. That's a great quote. And I think the other piece with trust is that it's the demonstration or the embodiment, I guess, of authenticity and care. And so if, you know, however it is that you demonstrate care of, you know, whether it's that, you know, very present listening, it's obviously asking the, you know, good questions, what kind of follow-up, letting people know you're thinking about them. I think that goes a tremendously far away in cultivating, you know, ongoing trust with the client.
Nice. If we look at competency number 3, 4.3, acknowledges and respects the client's unique talents, insights, and work in the coaching process. So bringing our attention to that creates greater trust and safety. And also in these competencies, there's greater attention to the systems in which we inhabit. And so there's more reflection on context. And so if you look at subcompetency one, seeks to understand the client within their context, which may include their identity, environment, experiences, values, and beliefs. So maybe you'll be noticing that in the new competencies. I don't know if they're going to be called new anymore, but I think we still refer to them as new. But referring to the context in which not only the person sitting in front of you, but it's also the systems in which they're in, and bringing that into the context of creating that trust and safety. How do we create trust with our clients? How do you create trust with your clients? Maybe you can share about tangibles that you have, like, you know, are there certain policies, schedules? Is it your agreements that are creating trust? And then also like that internal space, you know, how do you create that trust? Jean?
Yeah. Right or wrong, and I'm really open to input, is one of the things I say, even when I'm doing maybe a meet and greet and I'm one of three coaches someone's going to talk to find their executive coach. I generally just say, this is a confidential conversation, and I am not going to breach any confidentiality. You are welcome to say and be and do whatever you want to say, be and do here. There's only one caveat, which is if you or someone else is in danger, we're going to, you know, invite somebody else in who can help you, but you'd never be surprised by that. I also distinguish the relationship that we are, that if, especially if they've never been to coaching, through coaching, I'm not a sister, brother, you know, sister, family member, best friend, subordinate, boss, you know, anything like that. It's a very unique conversation where I'm already seeing the best in you to bring out and help you see what you can't see. So I distinguish the relationship that we have and in that space, and then ask if they have any questions about what that might mean to them. And it's just what I do. Yeah.
Nice. So this is the beginning of the engagement, you're saying?
Yeah. Right. Okay. After, even in a meet and greet,
you know, meet and greet.
I don't know if anybody else goes through those. I do it then, and then I repeat it if they choose me as a coach. And
yeah.
When we deepen into the coaching contracting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Really nice. Yeah, we'll be getting into also the agreements when we get to establishing agreements, competency number three, but I'm hearing that, like, creating that container, the safe container. How else? Anybody else want to share how you create trust with your clients?
I would say for me, I'm in a little bit of a unique situation because I'm, coaching people that know what I do in a role that I hold within an organization. And actually, sometimes I feel like that can be a bit of a challenge because there's preconceived notions. And so I feel like what I have really tried to do is kind of a combination of, process oriented things and then, you know, really just more being things. So from a process perspective, it's, following through on the things that I say I'm going to follow through on. So if we talk about doing an activity or an exercise and I need to follow up with materials, that I am doing all of those things that I say I'm going to do, because ultimately, you know, why would they believe me in a session if I'm not doing what I say I'm going to do, you know, outside of the session? Mm-hmm. So I think that there's process oriented things. And then I think it's a matter of when we're together, I think it's really coming into a space, at least for me as a coach, where I'm can be focused and dedicated to, you know, seeing them, acknowledging them, being present with them, and really helping to demonstrate that they are creative, competent, and whole as the coachee. And so I think as you sort of affirm and build those kind of experiences, people come to know that it's a safe space. I think to me, in a lot of ways, safety is one of the critical pieces of trust. And so I think it's creating an environment where people feel safe. And I think that just evolves over time as you're coaching someone. I think probably as coaches, we can observe trust building over time, or hopefully we can observe trust building over time as people feel more safe with us.
Thank you.
I think we've come a long way in executive coaching that it's not as seen as punitive as it used to be in industries. And so I think we've come a long way, but I still find that's still one of the assurances that I have to work through with the agreement at first, especially with an internal client, because there's a feeling that it's punitive versus an opportunity for them to grow. So I think that's there. And I think that what I've learned and I'm learning is that in that process, it's to understand what is going to be communicated to the supervisor of that client is pretty critical. Because, you know, I share with folks right out of the gate, you know, if something's coming up and I feel we're on a path that integrity could be called into question, you know, you and I need to talk about what that's going to look like, because it's not going to be something that's put on the side. But I still believe that relationship of that supervisor in that triangle of coaching is what my visual still goes, that it's important that that I help that client with the supervisor update as much as I update that supervisor, so that there's a consistency. And I think that the trust, there have been situations in my career where coaches or clients, supervisors have reached out to me directly and say, I want to really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And my whole thing is, well, then you really need to talk to your direct report. Mm-hmm. Because that's where the message lies, not with me, not with them. And I agree right out of the gate, you know, that again, if there's a question of integrity, and I'm really looking forward again to the reminders of what we're going to see over the next couple of sessions about that. Because I think that's the one question mark that as a coach, for me personally, my spidey senses go off when I start feeling that something's not right here. And it's usually I feel it before I really know it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. The
supervisor role and how that feedback goes back is critical in my opinion.
And that's something that, you know, we see also, you know, obviously in the code of ethics, and those are points that you can also bring up. We go into deeper conversation with Anne about this is why the foundation of the core competencies includes cultivating trust and safety, as well as establishing demonstrating ethical practice. And so there's the precedent for trust and safety is working ethically as a coach. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I would just add a little bit of a kind of a combination of both what Sterling and Laura were sharing is the process with the supervisor. And so just at the beginning of an engagement, also just sharing, you know, again, what our role is as the coach and, you know, what everyone's role is, and that it is a confidential process. And so again, just getting everybody on that same page right from the beginning, I found can try and tamp down some of those managers who want to know, because I think coaching from the inside is so much harder than being, you know, once I moved outside, I was like, oh, I don't have that same dual hat dynamic going. And it was a little bit easier to kind of set that in or set those boundaries. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, Julie, I'd add in terms of cultivating trust and safety is really trying to be non-judgmental with what people are sharing, whether it's things from their, you know, background, if we're doing more of like a life history, and or just challenges that they bring up, you know, even if in my head I'm like, are you kidding? Like, that's what you've told your direct report, but like, you know, keeping that poker face of, and just really saying, okay, this is the space, let's explore it, and really being in that curiosity discovery place with them. Mm-hmm. And so just really trying to be non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. Don't hit it every time, but it's the aspiration.
Yeah. Huge component. Thank you for that. just looking at the time, and there's always more to share, and we're just starting. So we have however many classes left together, and that's exciting to me. I just want to invite you to think about, I'll be inviting you to share your takeaways. Before we do that, whoever will be here on Wednesday, looking for right now volunteers to be somebody to be the coach and somebody to be the client. Is anybody feeling it right now? And then you can think about what you may bring to the coaching if you are going to be the client.
I don't mind being the client right out the gate.
Okay. Thank you, Sterling.
I can take a swag at being the coach.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you both for being the brave first timers on this call. Deb will be the coach, and I'll pass that information on to Anne, or maybe myself, depending on how she's doing. Let's hope she's doing better. Though, of course, I would love to be here with you. So client, wonderful. And so you'll begin the session probably, you know, 30 minutes into the call. We'll be doing a debrief of any questions and, you know, anything that's come up in your reflections once this conversation is opened up around trust and safety. If there's anything else left over that you want to talk about, we'll save that for Wednesday. And also just want to remind you that to track your attendance, and then also you have time, but for next Monday, to circle those two or three points in the code that you want to talk about. And want to thank you in advance for feeling safe to be here. I mean, that was an assumption, but I'm hoping you felt safe to be here and that the trust was cultivated. And thank you for contributing to the conversation around trust and safety and how we arrive at that. So nice to meet you all. I look forward to getting to hear more about you and from you and learning from each other. And if you have any questions, just let us know. And what is something that you're taking away from today that you'll be bringing into your life?
I'm excited about starting the journey, restarting it again.
Great. Thank you for your passion for learning and sharing where you're at and bringing it here so openly and generously.
I'm taking away the appreciation of what the subtleties it takes to be a great coach, and what witnessed here today is just wonderful. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I get that. Thank you for that. And thank you for bringing your deep acknowledgements and for seeing everyone, and pleasure to have you.
Yeah, I'm taking away the joy of learning again, continuous improvement, listening to the subtle, sometimes very subtle, rich nuggets that I've heard today. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Like, do subtle and deep go hand in hand, you know? That's what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you. So nice to meet you.
Mine is twofold. It's back. Great to be back in a coaching space. And I am going to try to be actively coaching through this process. So inspired to kind of be learning here and also learning outside of the course. So that's a takeaway for me that I want to work through. And then Julie, just the gosh, golden nugget of conversations are the way people think together. I just want to chew on that for a bit longer. Like, it's great wisdom. So thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure. Not mine, but I'm happy to share it. Thank you, Laura, so much. Deb, Dania?
It's interesting to meet a really a group like this with a great experience, and I'm happy to come back to this course. So I must speak more English because now I'm very out of practice. So I have to, and it's difficult for me now to explain what I think or what I can understand all, but it's difficult. I have to practice. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for practicing. I almost feel like I want to say, just say it in Italian, you know, but you take all the time you need. So thank you for trusting the space to do that. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
And Deb, and then we'll be off the call.
Just how important it is to be on this side of the coaching and just to be in the student mode. And there's always so much more for us to be learning and honing. So really excited for the journey.
Beautiful. Thank you. I hear you. Thank you, everyone. See you on Wednesday and have a great couple days. Take care.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
Bye.